number three here of Sports Talk Saturday. We're rolling right along here on a muggy, hot Saturday.
Yes. Temperature's not too bad in here yet, though. I
got to say, I'm going to step outside. I'm going to hate it. It's too muggy, and I need to say it because now, like, being in your 30s, you're allowed to say this. We need the rain. The dad quote.
We need the rain.
We need
yes.
this rain. It's in the air. You could feel it. You could taste it even. Get it. Let it out, Mother Nature. Let it out. So, when I was trying to pitch to you about the Hall of Fame game, Evan went rogue and put up a poll.
Mm-hmm.
When is football considered back? And the two options being the Hall of Fame game and the Thursday night football opener. It is a very clean 60-40 split in the votes right now on in favor of the regular season opener. And it's right. I do consider the Hall of Fame game a proper stepping stone, though.
Yes,
to football
absolutely.
Is back. It is a proper setting. It's a setting. It's the first football game being played in the season. Yes, preseason still has the word season in it, though. So
it's not the season, though.
That's my chess move back. That's okay. My counter.
But technically, it's not the season.
But it is a season.
It's not the season.
But it is part of the 2025 season.
It's
the preseason.
But it's not part of the 2025 season because it's the 2025 preseason.
But
it's got its own distinguishing factor.
We have a chance to get connect with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Some pretty good comments below this as well, though. Chris tweeting in, obviously you have had no clue that in the CFL, pro football since 1958 has been back since June.
Welcome
CFL
back.
Season they've already been back.
Welcome back a month late.
Yes. we if you're up there, we're already back. John tweeting in, does it ever really leave? Which is a good question.
That's a very good question, considering the NFL does their best to make it a 12-month a year sport. So
we got a couple of people saying both are wrong. It's training camp. We're back. Because the Chargers have reported today. So it's back. I've got a couple favorites. One by Primetime McDerm. It's back when the Hall of Fame game is here, but it's on when kickoff begins for the
that's a good
first
one.
Game of the season.
I
it's
like
the
that.
Perfect medium answer. That's the perfect order at the table right there.
Yes, I like that a lot.
My favorite, though, comes from Pro Football Scribe. During the hour-long thunderstorm delay of the Hall of Fame game. It's still my favorite. Because that tells me that's someone who watches the Hall of Fame game every year. So, yeah. But a couple there are a lot of you that said when players report to camp. Buffalo Sparty, Labor Day weekend when I have my fantasy draft.
That's a good one, too. That is a good one.
And Matt tweeting in, the one thing I always look forward to is the MLB All-Star game because training camp's right around the corner, then games, then cuts, and then it's on for real. So, yeah, it's that first taste of football where there's a score being taken place, like a score is being held, stats are being calculated, everything within the National Football League.
Mm. But so, in the preseason.
Yes. But it's still National Football League football.
Tell me I'm
wrong. It's not National Football League football?
It's preseason
is it a product
NFL
from the
football.
Is it a product of the National Football League?
Yeah, and so are the rivalry jerseys.
At least I know the Hall of Fame game is real, Joe.
Those are real.
All right.
They got announced.
We
got
to get moving here. So, you know, we put ourselves into a little bit of a time thing. I thought we'd have more time to breathe on the AFC. We no longer do. So... That's my fault. I'm obsessed with the Hall of Fame game, apparently. Evan, get us back that NFL music because we got to get moving and fast because we want to get to Pat Malacaro on time here. AFC West over-unders. We'll start at the bottom here. The Raiders, 6.5. They're an interesting roster, but I don't know if they're a good roster. I'm going to go with the under on the Raiders.
The Raiders.
I think they're going to be mostly the same this year, but 6.5 is tricky.
Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, Ashton Gentry, 6 wins in the AFC West.
That's a tough
competition.
That's
a tough conference. Or tough division. I'd go... See, I think they get over 6.5 wins, though. I think 7 is where they're at. So I would say I'm going over for them.
All right, we'll do the Chiefs first here at 11.5.
Over. If they're going to win the division again, they have to do that. So, over.
I'm going to go with under.
I want to go under, but I don't think it's going to happen. They have that voodoo magic to them. I think they do regress a touch. I think they might get 12. I don't think they go 15-2
again. I think the West is going to beat the smacks out of each other to where 11 wins or 10 wins is going to win you the division, and that's it.
I just don't trust Greg Roman.
Well, all right, so there's your answer on the Chargers over-under.
I like Justin Herbert.
9.5?
I like them. I do. I'm going to go 9.5. I think they get 10 wins. I'm going to over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. I think you're missing a lot of potential on Herbert. They could be the top of the AFC West if they had a guy like Joe Brady, Brian Daboll running that offense and actually utilizing Herbert's potential on the ground and through the air. They don't.
I'm picking the under. I don't trust the Chargers.
No?
But I also think that it's going to be a brutalized division where they all hit each other.
I'm hoping it is. I genuinely am.
Hang on. I'm going to call an audible. Chiefs are going to be over. I forget. They have voodoo magic.
Yes.
And it's not about the division. It's about the rest of the league.
Yeah.
All right. Broncos 9.5. I'm comfortably taking an over here.
I would too. Bo Nix, Sean Payton, they put a season
you have
together
last year.
The entire
West going over.
Yep, I do.
Okay.
That's the AFC West, though. I think the Raiders do better than 7.5, I would say.
Okay.
So the Broncos are definitely over. Even if it's 10 wins, they get a wild card spot again. They showed they were there for the dance last year. Showed. On one drive, they really just showed out against Buffalo, and the Bills just kind of put them in their back pocket. But Bo Nix is the real deal, I think.
They also have a really soft schedule.
They do. They could put
really
a
soft schedule.
They can string some wins together before they duke it out with their divisional opponents. They legitimately do.
All right. Is it time for me to do the bit? AFC South.
Yes.
Titans 5.5 under.
I would agree with that. I genuinely think they're under. Cam Ward is going to be in his rookie season. I don't think he's saving that team.
It's a bad roster.
It's just a
the
bad
coach
roster.
Is not good.
Yeah.
Their uniforms are ugly. They never should have left Houston.
No, they should only wear the Houston Oilers uniforms if I had to pick. But under 100% for the Titans.
And for me, it's just being a straight up hater.
Outside of the hater, there is an actual legitimate reason to say they go under.
All right, Colts and Jaguars have the same total here at 7.5.
Daniel Jones, Colts? Is that what we're thinking about here? Is that kind of what we're going
on? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to think there. The Jaguars under.
Okay.
I think Trevor Lawrence is not the guy.
Ooh.
I think they're going to have to move on from him at some point. You haven't been able to get over that comeback game against the Chargers. That was your peak. That's wonderful. You haven't made the dance at all past that. So, Jaguars under. You know what? I'll Daniel Jones is not too tired like Anthony Richardson, I think the Colts could possibly
go
over.
You're saying this one's for Trevor. I'm actually going to say this one's for Trevor in a different way. The Colts have a chance to finally reset again, try to get another quarterback in a good draft. I'm taking the under on the Colts. I'm taking over on the Jaguars because I think Trevor Lawrence is good enough when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that Travis Hunter and that gamble is going to pay off. Why?
Yeah.
Because only bad things happen to the Cleveland Browns. Now they have Jacksonville's pick. It's going to get put into the middle of the round.
Yep. Okay. I like it. I like it. I don't like it, but I like it.
And then the Texans at 9.5. I'm pretty sure you and I are both going to say over on this one.
Yeah, I really think C.J. Stroud struggled last year and that his sophomore season, he regressed a little bit. Against Buffalo, that was just an all-time bad coaching performance to end that game from both sides
both
of the ball.
Both sides tried to hand the football and the win to the other team. And
yes.
It's like,
what
no,
are we
you
doing?
Take the win. No, you have it.
Yeah.
No, you have it. No, you have it.
Yes. It's like throwing the hot potato between each other at that point.
And Buffalo did it last with 3 straight passes.
Out of the end zone.
Out of like they're near their own 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. So.
And it wasn't necessarily just the coaching decision. It was the quarterback deciding to dial up nothing but moonshots.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I get that you're trying to flip the field and, like, get points, but that was a little too aggressive. And especially with how the day was going for you passing-wise, it just sounded like one of those things like, maybe you shouldn't have done that. But
yeah,
all's forgiven there. Texans, I like the over on 9.5 because they decided, hey, that offensive line was not good enough, and we're going to just purge everybody.
I do worry, though, for the Texans' sake, Tank Dell. He got his knee blown up last year. He'll never be the same, and that's tough to say. But I do think that affects their wide receiver core because now Nico Collins can get doubled up, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have Stephon Diggs anymore.
Yeah.
I think that changes some things. I still think they go over.
They did attack the position, though, in the draft.
They did.
So I do, because they know that Dell's health is very much in question.
You just have to hope it hits at that point. So it's more of a gamble for them, but I think they're over.
Now, welcome to probably the hardest conversation to have in terms of the over-unders here, the AFC North.
Okay. Yeah. This is
100%. The one that's probably the easiest, Browns 4.5.
Under.
I'm also taking the under. I think they're a bad football team. They have discord within their locker room. Kevin Stefanski doesn't deserve this.
Booty cheek of the year is the Browns.
I think he's a good coach, but I also know that he's not going to get himself out of this.
No. Now you have a quarterback room
with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, and the Shedeur Sanders pick in the draft room looked like the owner was like, make the pick, like force their hand to do it.
They looked like they didn't want to care about making that selection.
No. So it's going to be an interesting selection situation there. So under, I think they're going to have a lot to figure out. And
all
it's
right.
Cleveland. So
Steelers 8.5.
With Mr. Rogers' neighborhood over there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to say under because they might win 8 games.
This is the hardest one to do.
I could also see them going over because Rogers, Metcalf, right? Like, you don't have Pickens anymore.
I'm not even going to say any logical reason for this. I'm picking the over because Steelers 9-8 Super Bowl.
And I'm going to piggyback on that. I'm going to go over as well because Mike Tomlin's got voodoo magic that's got them 21 consecutive seasons over 500. So if they go...
This should be the year that it doesn't happen.
But it will.
But as long as TJ Watt is still employed by that team...
for the last season, possibly.
Yeah. They'll still get to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good enough to make the playoffs? I don't know.
Might be a wild card spot.
Because the Bengals are measured at 9.5.
We'll see if they can start their season on the right track for the first time in like 4 years. But if they do that, I would say over. But I'm going to bet they're not. I think they're going to still have defensive struggles. Their front office can't handle anything contract-wise. These defensive players are... The rookie's already mentally dealing with a situation there. Under 9.5, Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. I have them at under as well. I very much respect when a locker room is in discord.
Mm-hmm.
And I will cede to that. Ravens, 11.5. I'm taking the over because I have the Bengals at under. Somebody has to pay the price for the Ravens to be good. And I've got them probably competing for the one seed here again as well. It's between the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens, and all three of them should be fighting for that once more.
I'm going to do something here. I'm going to go under. I think they're right at 11 wins.
Okay.
I think that's where they're going to be. And still, that's enough to contend for a top spot. So, depending on how the Bills and Chiefs do. So, 11 wins can get you into the dance.
All right. Finally, we move to the AFC East. The Jets, 5.5.
Under. I'm not a Justin Fields believer. I'm sorry. I'm not. That team is so dysfunctional still from the Aaron Rodgers stuff they just removed. They're going to take another season at least to figure that out, in my mind.
I think healing that locker room helps them.
A little bit.
I'm taking the over
on
the New York Jets at 5.5 wins.
They do have were they fourth place schedule? Or were
they
the Patriots?
Oh, the Patriots.
Patriots are fourth place schedule. Yeah.
But speaking of the Patriots and Dolphins, 8.5.
Dolphins.
I know your feelings on the Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots way over. Hammer the over on the Patriots. I think they win 10-11 games and really run with the Bills. That's why the Ravens, I think, are like that could be interesting on a playoff push there. The win totals. But also, the Dolphins, I see maybe winning 8 games. I don't think Tua's the answer. It's shown that. They're playing a second-place schedule. I don't know if that's going to go well for them or not. They've kind of hovered around 9-8, 10-7, right? Like, that's kind of where they've been at. I think they're there. So I'm going to go 8. I think they regress a little bit more.
So Patriots over, Dolphins under.
Absolutely.
I'm picking under on both of them. When you have a team move up, a team has to move down. The Patriots, I think, are a little overhyped considering the soft schedule. You have to remember that they're still a bad football team, and their roster is not yet ready. Like, yeah, they got a big name in Stephon Diggs, but that's one player, and it's not an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Will Campbell being drafted, yeah, that's fine. What's the rest of that line going to look like? I think the Patriots do improve. It's a 4-win season. Not very hard to go further down than that. But if you're looking at a team that I think comfortably is screaming 6-11, 7-10 when it comes to its roster construction, I don't think the Patriots are that good that quickly, but this is the first step to them turning things around properly.
See, I'm looking at through their schedule right now, and you mention it. It's bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not difficult, just bad because it's a fourth place schedule. You start with the Raiders, go to the Dolphins, Steelers, Panthers. I could see them winning those, all four of those games. And then you hit the Bills. They might surprise. You might split with them at some point.
They're not splitting with the Bills.
Drake May gave the Bills a run for their money in that legitimate game last year.
The first matchup, yes.
Yes,
but
I see that with Mike Vrabel. He knows how to coach around Josh Allen. He knows how to do that. So he might be able to get something out of these guys that Jerod Mayo could not.
I think
they're a little more dangerous. So
I think it's also their roster's not ready yet. That's all it is to me.
Was the Bills roster ready by any means to breach a playoff in 2017, like we were talking about earlier? No. Did they? Yes.
That is also the rest of the league was fighting amongst itself in a different way there. You also have the entirety of, like, the AFC West, for example, winning over their projection. Somebody has to pay the price somewhere. And that's why I have the Patriots and Dolphins both doing so. Miami, because I think they're a team that is just in disarray. The Patriots, because they're not ready yet.
I think, I look at them, I know they might not be ready to contend yet, but they're pushing up there.
Well,
I
over 8.5 is you're contending for a playoff spot.
Yeah, they're going to get a wild card spot. They did with Mac Jones.
That's because they had a really good defense around them.
Right.
And they had a good pieces around
how
him.
How soft their schedule is, looking at these teams, other teams we picked.
They blew up that entire offense, though, when they failed. They blew up the entirety of that roster. Almost stripped it to the boards. That's why I think, like, you can't do it that aggressively and turn it around that quickly in the NFL.
Well, I'm just on the record saying I think they're right around 10 wins. They're over 8.5, easy, contending for a playoff spot. Because I'm just scrolling through the schedule right now, they beat the Jets, they beat the Falcons, they beat the Browns, they beat the Panthers, they beat the Steelers, they beat the Giants.
I don't think they can beat Carolina.
I think they would be able to. It all depends. Carolina had ups and downs. Yeah, Bryce Young really did put it together towards the end of the season. It's not a guarantee he does. We said that about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen with the Sabres.
Honestly, I look at the first four games. I don't know if the Patriots can win more than two of them.
You think
You've got the Raiders, Dolphins. It's an AFC East matchup. Steelers and Panthers. I'm not picking New England to win more than two of these.
I think they could beat the Bills on October 5th.
No.
A divisional matchup, you never know what can happen. It's always goofy. They have film on you from last year. They have everything, more than what other teams have. They see you twice a year. Divisional matchup, you could split with them. I see that happening next year at some point.
Well, if you can say that, then you should be able to say that about the Dolphins.
Well, yeah. I mean, they almost did.
No, I'm saying, like, the Dolphins could beat them.
Well, yeah. I'm saying they could split with the Dolphins, but that's a win in their column, at least one. I think they win 10 games. The end of the season is where it gets rough for them. The Bills, yeah. Ravens, Jets, Jets, Dolphins. The Jets is a win, and the Dolphins could be the split, whatever that is.
I think the Jets are a better roster than New England is. And while New England's got the advantage at quarterback, I do think that the Jets have a better roster. And I think Justin Fields will be good enough for them to at least skate by. I think that New England at 8.5 is a little pricey, I guess, so to say.
Bills, we shall see.
Bills should be easy here. Over 11.5,
mm-hmm.
That's where we're going with.
Yep.
And I don't need to talk about that. Why? Because we have a whole rest of the way until training camp to talk about that.
Yes,
and
sir.
And even all throughout training camp. Also, because now I can conveniently say this is a good time to get to a break. Why? We've got Pat Malacaro coming up as we talk about all things around the Diamonds. including first place Jays. I like first place Jays. We'll talk to Pat about the Jays, the Yanks, plenty and more, and even a couple Bisons promos going on at the ballpark in downtown Buffalo on Sports Talk Saturday.
First pitch to Guerrero is hit in the air right center. It's down for a base hit. Hit 1,000 for Guerrero as Springer goes around to third. And the Blue Jays will look for that baseball. Severino looking to toss it away. And the Blue Jays urgently trying to get the ball back. And they will. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has his 1,000th career hit.
That's a big one there. Hit 1,000 for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as the Toronto Blue Jays, winners of 11 of their last 12.
Mm-hmm. They've been on a run.
Continued their tear and still hold on to first place in the AL East. What better excuse for me? Because I always look for reasons to get Pat Malacaro on the Westher Hotline. And what better reason, though, than to see the Major League affiliate of the Buffalo Bisons in first place in their division. And now we bring in Pat on the Westher Hotline. Pat, it's great to hear from you again. I'm hoping your summer has been a fantastic one so far.
Thanks, Derek. Yeah, it's been fun, and we're here in Moosic, PA for the Bisons and Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. Game 5 of the series tonight. Some fun road trips. We're more than halfway through the season now, and tonight is game number 90. Out of 148, so we're starting towards the back half of the season now, and it's crazy. I was telling someone the other day, it feels like the Bisons were on a two-week road trip and our first ever trip to St. Paul, Minnesota, and it ended on Mother's Day, and I don't know what happened between Mother's Day and 4th of July. 6 weeks just went by in the blink of an eye, you know, those long days but fast weeks and months, so it's a fun season so far, and excited to have a little break coming up with a small homestand we're going to talk about and kind of that sprint to the finish.
And, of course, we'll talk plenty on the things coming up at the ballpark, downtown Buffalo, with the Bisons themselves as well. But as someone who does pull for the Jays as his team in the MLB here, I have been pleased with the run that Toronto has been on, especially because of the fact that, like I said, 11 of their last 12 that they've won, they're 17-11 in one-run games. Like it's something where they know how to play their best baseball, it seems, in tight moments as of late, and have been able to take the AL East lead on their terms.
Yeah, and you want to sit there and say, well, of course, the winning streak was against the Angels, the White Sox, and even the A's a little bit, sure, but it also included a four-game sweep at the Yankees up in Toronto. So you only get New York in Toronto twice this year. You swept the four games last week, almost 2 weeks ago now, and if you're the Blue Jays, you will get the Yankees back in Toronto again another time at the end of the month. So you've got to take advantage of those, and the Blue Jays did. And I think, you know, we've talked in the past, last year was a massive disappointment for the Blue Jays. They expected to not only be a playoff team, look, this is a group, the core players on that team have pretty much been there. You know, there have been additions and subtractions, but pretty much since 2020 to now, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette have been the leaders of that offense. Sure, you know, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Teoscar Hernandez no longer there, but George Springer has been with the team since 21. They've been in the playoffs a couple of times. They haven't won a playoff game, period, since making that wild card run in 2020, getting swept by Tampa, then eventually at home against Seattle and by Minnesota in three playoffs in 4 years. So for the Blue Jays to not even make it last year, it was a chance, I think, to look in the mirror and reflect a little bit. And it's basically the same roster as last year, and even some players that are on the roster that have been injured haven't contributed, but you've gotten pieces like an Addison Barger, who was in Buffalo for the last really 2.5 years, 2 years and change, but he's a key contributor this year. Nathan Lucas, who's been up and down with the Bisons the last 3 years, he is getting a chance to play every day with injuries to guys like Dalton Varsho and even giving George Springer some extra rest as maybe the DH, so you have more outfield options. Well, all Nathan Lucas has done is gone out and be, you know, a solid defender and put the ball in play. And that's another part of this conversation too, Derek. You're talking about a Blue Jays team. They know who they are. they're going to hit a couple of home runs, but they're not a home run heavy team like maybe the Yankees. You know, Bellinger hits three yesterday for the first time in his career. You know what Aaron Judge is going to do? Giancarlo Stanton's paid to hit home runs. The Blue Jays strike out the least of any team in the league. So when you talk about a team that knows how to play within themselves, I think that's why you're seeing the Blue Jays. They didn't come out of nowhere. They took a step back last year, got back to where they needed to be, and are taking it a step further, I think, this year.
And also, part of this, and I know that it's going to pain Joe when I say this, when the Jays go on this heater, though, that starts a couple weeks ago, it also coincides with the Yankees, like, obviously sweeping a team that is directly affected with being in a losing slump of their own and causing it is a perfect double-edged sword for you there. But with the Yankees having that drop off a little bit there, but now you look at a team, though, with how Toronto is working, how balanced they do seem to be. Like you said, they strike out the least in baseball. The pitching has been solid for them, but it's not like they're blowing anyone away. It is just more or less, like you said, probably a return to form that has helped them the most.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Yankees are finding a way to win games now. That, you know, their big win last night against the Cubs. They're trying to go into the All-Star break on a winning note. Even Boston has won eight straight games, and they've won, 11 or 12 or 12 or 13 now. So you're getting teams right at your heels now if you're the Blue Jays. So going to the All-Star break, feeling good about yourself, maybe pick up, win one of the next two for sure, and take two out of three against the Athletics and feel good. But then know that you've got the stretch run coming up. And you know the Yankees, look, they're dealing with injuries. More pitchers going down with season-ending injuries. You get Giancarlo Stanton back, but you know what does he have in the tank in terms of, you know, all the injuries have taken their toll on him. There are going to be injuries later in the season for guys, for all teams. But the one thing the Yankees are able to do is they're able to go out, and maybe not the George Steinbrenner Yankees of go get me anybody and everybody and money's no object, but still with Brian Cashman leading the team, he finds ways to go get talent. Look, a couple of years ago to getting Jazz Chisholm Jr. from the Marlins, and now he is a big piece of their offense and why they are so good. So I think for you, if you're the Blue Jays, you're going to have to contend with, look, you're going to want to add, Ross Atkins has talked about adding a right-handed bat, maybe adding another arm to the rotation, but you're going to get an Alek Manoah back potentially in the middle of August. So you're going to have to contend with the teams around you and just continue to tread water in terms of just keeping them at bay. And that's really what I mean, not tread water, but just kind of keep them level off a little bit and see if you can just find your way towards the end of August into September with a fighting chance at the division against what could be a really tough American League East.
Pat, yesterday, Derek and I were, to bring it back to the home field a little bit here, Derek and I were talking about sports movies as a topic to close out the week on a Friday. And, you know, The Natural did come up, and we heard on a promo that A Night at the Ballpark is going to be Natural themed. Just wanted to ask about that. Will there be jerseys on sale? And what else is coming up at the ballpark here at Salem Field?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite nights, and somebody who grew up on the movie The Natural, not just because of the buys and connections. It's a fun baseball movie. It's vintage movie night coming up a week from today, Saturday, July 19, at Salem Field, 6:35 start time. The team is going to wear the Natural-themed jerseys. They're not New York Knights. They're Bisons jerseys modeled after the ones that the Knights would have worn in The Natural. I think they look really sharp. They're a cream-colored jersey with the blue pinstripes. It says Bisons across the front. And there's a retro cap as well that matches the jerseys. They're on sale right now. You can get them at Bisons.com or stop in the team store. They're for sale when the team is home next week. And that's another one of the projects that really is excited to see come to life for the Bisons. This is something a couple of years in the making. We've been trying to do this promotion for quite a while now. The movie will be shown after the game, as you mentioned. That is a fun element of it as well. My broadcast partner, Duke McGuire, who is in the movie, Kevin Lester, who is our official scorer in the movie, the one that actually had the bats, the Wonder Boy bats, made for Robert Redford. Those weren't props that were just brought in from Hollywood. They were made in a local shop, believe it or not. So they'll be part of the promotion and throwing a first pitch, Duke to Kevin, on next Saturday night. And I think it's just going to be a fun night at the ballpark. And if you go to Bisons.com, you'll see the vintage movie night promotion right at the front of the page. I also like the detail of the sleeves. And because they're the Natural themed, can't necessarily have all the elements of the Natural New York Knights jerseys, but we were able to have the Bump Bailey kind of lightning bolt sleeve patch on one side, and on the other side, I can't remember. It's been a year or two since I've seen the movie, and you know the detail is the detail. But like a league patch on the left side, it's like a red, white, and blue patch. Well, we've kind of replicated it, but in a tribute to Old War Memorial Stadium. So I think they're nice little subtle touches that we've been able to make our own a little bit of those vintage night movies in tribute to the Natural.
Pat Malakawa joining us here on the Westshore Hotline as the Bisons in action in Scranton tonight. 6:05 first pitch. You can hear that over on our sister station, The Bet 1520. Pat, when it comes to the Bisons, their season, it has not been a fun one as of late, especially losing six in a row now. But what has it been about the Bisons this season that you can at least look forward to when it comes to this team on the field?
Yeah, the wins and losses aren't there, and that's there's no sugarcoating it. But I think you go back to part of the conversation we had a minute ago about a guy like Addison Barger or a Nathan Lucas, who I know who hasn't been here in Buffalo outside of a small rehab assignment. But you look at some of the players that have been key contributors to the Toronto Blue Jays this year, whether it's Barger in the bullpen. He's back in Buffalo right now, but left-hander Mason Fluharty making his major league debut this year in over 30 relief appearances. Braden Fisher out of the bullpen. Paxton Schultz, who was up and down and now on the injured list for the Blue Jays. There have been more than just role players. They've been key contributors to the success that the Blue Jays have had this year. So when you talk about AAA being the backstop for the big leagues and you have that talent that can supplement your big league roster, whether it be due to injuries, trades, or what have you, a guy like Joey Loperfido, who was acquired in the trade last year for Yusei Kikuchi with the Astros, was in Buffalo hitting 270, consistent for the Bisons all year long, goes up to the big leagues, and has a home run and a big factor in a win in Chicago this week against the White Sox. So you look at the wins and losses, they're not there, but the individual players that have been in Buffalo and have gone up to Toronto have been really impact players for the team and a reason why the Blue Jays have been so successful.
Pat Malakawa on the Westshore Hotline. Pat, heading into the All-Star break, I know you were talking about this a little bit, but just looking at the standings here, really the Orioles are the only ones out, the Rays, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and of course the Blue Jays at the top. Do you have, I don't know if you're a prediction guy or not, but going into the All-Star break, do you have a prediction of where the Blue Jays, where the Yankees, Red Sox could end up? Like, what do you foresee?
I won't make a prediction in terms of I don't know who's going to win the division at this point because, it could come down to, you know, a trade here or there, it's down the stretch. I also don't like how in the way baseball is set up now. I like it, but I don't like it where you play everybody. You get a chance to see every team across the league now. It results in, you know, that unbalanced schedule where you don't get to maybe have those divisional matchups in September that you love to see. But I do think all three of those teams will end up in the postseason. Whether it's the Blue Jays win the division, the Yankees and the Red Sox staying where they are right now, 1-2-3, or somebody else. The Central has taken a step back this year. The West has looked really good, and you look at what Seattle's been able to do recently to get back in the conversation about being one of the top teams in the American League. I do think the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox will be in the postseason, and certainly if the Red Sox don't make it, you talk about a team that is a massive disappointment this year with the way that last year ended for them and the expectations of this year, that would be a step back for Boston for sure, even though they didn't make the postseason last year. I just think you look at what Toronto has right now, the depth that they've been able to amass between Buffalo and in the big leagues, and like I said, getting a guy like Alek Manoah back potentially for the stretch run this year, that's your proverbial, you know, acquisition of a player after the trade deadline, better than a trade, so to speak. So you look at what the Blue Jays could have down the stretch. It's going to be a tight race for all three teams, I think. But really, the Blue Jays and the Yankees probably fighting out for the division, and then the Red Sox just hanging in there along with Tampa Bay, trying for one of those two wild card spots or one of those three wild card spots.
Yeah, you mentioned how well the West has been doing as well. Like, if only the Angels weren't allergic to being over 500, our friend Zach Jones would be part of the fun conversation here as well, Pat. But I'm fascinated to see if the AL East can sweep the wild card as well and hog it all to themselves, because the Rays are right now also holding on to that last spot. It'll be something interesting to see as the rest of the season unfolds, though, within Major League Baseball.
And I agree with you. And also, it's something you can't quantify, but we saw it in Buffalo with the Blue Jays in 2020 and 21. Teams rally around adversity. And what I mean by that is Tampa Bay, we know the hurricane that came through in September, the end of the season last year, and rendered Tropicana Field unplayable this year and potentially, you know, again, next year, who knows at this point, really, when Tampa Bay would be able to go back to their home ballpark. They're playing out of Steinbrenner Field in what is the Yankees Yankees spring training facility, their home. There's something about teams rallying around that adversity and finding a way to win. And you can't quantify it. You can't say, well, they won X amount of more games because they just they had that will to win. But it is something that I think you could point to when you look back at the end of the season and say, look, Tampa Bay always seems to be a team that drafts and acquires the right talent. Free agent-wise, they made a trade for a former Bison in Brian Baker just 48 hours ago, a reliever from the Orioles inside the division trade. So they're always acquiring talent. But there's something about not having a true home ballpark, not playing in your real home ballpark, that I think has been a rallying cry for that organization this year and a reason why, when you look back at the end of the season, if they make the playoffs by a game or two, I really do think that could be one of those things that put them over the top.
Pat, it is going to be a wild finish to the seasons, both in the minors where you're all over and on the road and on the call for us on our sister station, but also for the rest of the MLB. Take a moment for that All-Star break. Kick it back. Well, you're going to have to keep going, though, because I know that you're not stopping anytime soon. But
I get 4 days off. Believe me, I'm taking 4 days.
Take those 4 days and kick back, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, guys.
That's Pat Malacaro on the West Her Hotline there as we want to talk all things on the diamond there, the natural theme night. That's
those jerseys
week.
Are sleek, by the way. I'm looking at one right now.
Next week, Saturday, as a matter of fact. So at the very least, have an opportunity, a reason, an excuse to get out there. Get to the ballpark. Get to the ballpark. Go check it out. It's always nice to on a summer day to head downtown in Buffalo and take in a game there on the diamond. We'll wrap Sports Talk Saturday up. Coming up next here, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here on WGR. We've only got about a minute here. And that's perfectly fine, because that's exactly how you want to draw it up.
Couldn't write the script better itself.
What script? I don't have one of these scripts.
What's the teleprompter in front of you, then? What is that for?
That's actually our call screener.
Mm. You sure about that? The audience doesn't know.
It is.
He reads from a script.
No, I'm kidding. We literally have cameras here now.
I know.
They're not being used.
No, they're just in front of our faces.
But there's actually like a visual of the inner machinations of this place now. Like, it's no longer a secret.
I'll give you this to go. I will think about the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, here we go.
I will think about it.
Yes!
I will consider it.
I will bully you into watching it.
No, I will not. I do not give in to peer pressure.
Okay, fine. I won't do that. I'm just going to show you a picture of me watching it. How's that?
That would be very, very...
It's encouragement.
And if you heard those two dinks, I missed the garbage can throwing my water bottle into it. So I'll put myself out there.
But,
yeah, I will watch it, probably.
I'll encourage you, not bully you. How's that?
I like that. That is a better ring to it. But for that Sports Talk Saturday where you're not here, that's a perfect thing to do. I have been thinking about
It's something that you can then just talk about.
Yes.
Of like your feet, not even just the game itself, because who cares about the product?
Feelings
that's on
it, what we saw.
Feelings on watching another football game and therefore
getting
Is it something? Yeah. Getting back into the swing of things. Because like training camp is training camp, and the start of training camp is one thing. But once you start seeing football with score being taken, it feels a little different.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a necessary stepping stone to it being back.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun with some of the comments, though, today on that poll. That's, again, the one with the thunderstorm delay.
Also the Labor Day weekend when I had my fantasy draft. That's funny, too.
That's the sicko, though, that I know has watched the game every year.
Oh, yeah. It's a tradition, like, at that point. 100%.
So, thank you to everyone that has listened along or taken part on social today. For our guests, Brian Koziel, Pat Malacaro, for Evan on the board, and for Joe Calley, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Always great to have you around. Always great to know that you're listening in.
So thank you for that, as always. Have a great weekend. And we'll be back at it same time next week.